Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Avodah Zarah, daf Ayin Vav, the last daf of Maseches Avodah Zarah. We are holding a daf Ayin Hey Amud Beis. We're at the third wide line at the two dots. Tan Rabbanan on daf Ayin Hey Amud Beis. Today's shir is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bar Simcha Shalom, also by Dr. and Mrs. Noam and Hilary Harpaz in honor of the engagement of their son, Shmuel Harpaz, to Chani Yosef. They should have much nachas, wonderful mazel tov. And also, just to announce once again that we here at BKNW, together with All Torah, the All Daf people, will be celebrating our daily learning together at the Siyum Seder Nezikin here in the shul next Thursday night, September 11th. For details and RSVP, go to bknw.org, as in Base Knesset North Woodmere.org, or go.alldaf.org/siyum5t. We thank everyone who's going to participate. We look forward to a wonderful celebration together. So what we're going to talk about in today's daf is the following. First, we're going to have different types of, the Brice is going to quote different types of Hechsher Kalim depending on the usage of the particular Kli. And then the Gemara is going to ask a stira between our Mishnah, which requires Libun for spits and grates, with a Mishnah in Maseches Zvachim that only requires Hagala for things that are used with direct fire. And the Gemara is going to spend all of Amud Aleph trying to reconcile that stira. We're going to have five or six different ways of reconciling that stira. Why is it that by Kachim, the Mishnah says, you only need Hagala even on Kalim that are used with fire, and yet when it comes to non-kosher, it seems that you need Libun when it comes to Kalim that are used with fire. Then the Gemara is going to discuss how to kasher a pot, so a bigger pot, but how do you kasher the biggest pot? Right? So the Gemara is going to talk about that, and then the Gemara is going to talk about how do you kasher not. And that will bring us all the way to the end of the Masechta. So let's begin. Tan Rabbanan, again, we're holding Ayin and Beis, third wide line. Tan Rabbanan says the Braisa. Tan Rabbanan, Kle Tashmish, min Ovdik Chavim. Someone purchases Kalim that they use for a Seuda from Ovdik Chavim. Dvarm Shlo Nishtamish Behen, Madbilan Vein Torin. Anything that's a brand new Kli that the guy has never used before, so you just tovel it, and that's all it needs, and it's going to be kosher. Dvarm Shlo Nishtamish Behen, but if it's a Kli that the guy has used for his own food, for non-kosher food, sa'ali deit sonei, and if he used ali deit sonei, and he used only for cold food, kosos, vikitonios, tzochios, like cups that he used to drink from, and plates, madichan, so then you could just rinse it off, umatbilan, and you tovel it, vehem tahorin, and that's good enough to make it kosher. From the Ravid points out, from the fact that it says matbilan and then tovlan, meaning l'chora, if all it needs is a rinsing, doesn't it get a rinsing when you put it in the mikveh? Meaning that also will rinse off whatever mamashos is there. So says the Ravid, you see, they need a scrubbing, that a dipping in the mikveh is not enough. That you need to scrub it clean, even though you're only cleaning it with cold water, but you need to do a really good job cleaning it, and only then you put it in the mikveh. Tvarim shenishtamish ben alidei chamin, but kalim that are used with boiling water, kigon hayoros vakum kamoson, like larger pots and smaller pots, mechamichamin, and kettles magilan, so you do hagala, which means in boiling water, umat bilan, and you tovel it in a mikveh, vehein tahorin, and that will make it kosher. Tvarim shenishtamish ben alidei, or things that are used with direct fire, kigon hashvudin vahaskalaos, like spits and grates, melabnan, then you need libun with direct fire. Fire and umat bilan, and you tovel them vehein tahorin. This is assuming that they also directly come in contact with the food. They're made to directly come in contact with the food, like a barbecue grate where you put the food directly on the barbecue. But the post can point out in an oven, like an oven grate, where you typically put food in a pot in the oven, and you don't put food directly on it. Even though every now and then you might, that would not require tevila. But the spits that they roast food directly on, and the barbecue grates that you put food directly on requires libun in addition to tevila. And if you use any of these kalim before kashering them, so tani chada aser v'tani yidach mutter. One brisa says it's aser, and the other brisa says that it's mutter. So it's a stir in the brisa. So says Gemara lo kasha. It's not a stir in the brisas. How command yamar nosin tam lufkam aser? It's a machlokas in the brisas. The brisa that says that it's aser is going like the shita that holds that a tam pogum of isur that gets mixed in with another food food is still going to ask for the food, that even though it's a negative tam, so the kli that you buy from a guy has a tam iser in it, but that tam is already pogum, because tam kelim we assume are in b'nei yoman, and after 24 hours of tam being trapped in the dofnei kli, we assume it's a tam pogum, so it's a tam pogum, but nevertheless, it's going to ask for the meichel, because this is the shita, that nosin tam lefkam is aser. Tosos points out in his first of his two explanations that since the issue over here is about asring the meichel only on account of the nesinas tam, you have to say that when it says ad shelo yatbil, it's lav dafka, because the tvila has no sheichus to this whatsoever, right? We said kulin shen shabish ben ad shelo yatbil v'shelo yagil v'shelo yilabein, so tani chada that it's going to be asr. If the whole issue is because of nesinas tam, I don't care if you were yatbil or not. Yatbil shouldn't make a difference in terms of the kashrus of the food. The tevila doesn't affect any blia whatsoever. But then Tosos in the second explanation says that it could be that the brisa holds that a meichel that's cooked in a pot prior to toveling the pot becomes asr midrabanan, that they made a gzeira lest you come to make a mistake and be matir of food that was cooked prior to kashering, so they don't even allow food that was cooked in a pot prior to toveling. However, the Ramban says, no, actually yatbil over here doesn't mean tevila b'mikveh, it means hadacha, meaning the three types of kashering, that if it was used for cold, you rinse it off really well with cold, and if it was used for hot water, so you do agal, and if it was used for fire, you use libun. So that's why it says, actually yatbil v'shlo yagil v'shlo yilabein. So yatbil in this context doesn't mean tevilas kelim, because of course, the first approach of Tosos is correct. Tevilas kelim never, or failure to do Tevilas Kalim never trafes up the food. That is that is the halacha. So it's the second day in Tosos that seems to say otherwise on the Drabbanan level. But we paskin like the first day in Tosos and the Ramban that failure to do Tevilas Kalim will never trafe up the food. So you put food in a kli that wasn't toveled, just take it out of that kli. Don't use that as a clay suda, but it's not going to trafe up the food. So anyway, so the opinion in the Bryce had told us that if you use a kli prior to kashering it, that it's going to be aser, holds that nosin tam lefkam is aser. But hakaman diyamar nosin tam lefkam mutter. The other braisa says that if you use a kli prior to kashering it, the food is going to be mutter, holds that since tam kelim arein b'nei yomen, the tam that's in the dofnei kli is a tam pogum, and a tam pogum does not have the capacity, does not have the ability to trafe up any food, and the nosin tam lefkam is going to be mutter. So the Gemara says, well, wait just a minute. Hakaman diyamar nosin tam lefkam mutter. If you hold nosin tam lefkam mutter, gi'uli of the how come when we won the war with Midian and we took their kelim, we had to go through all this kashering? Just wait 24 hours. Why would we ever need to kasher any food or even stam kelim or in b'nei yoman? So if it hasn't been used for 24 hours, it's all going to be a tam pagum. It should all be mutter. So when does the Torah require that we do kashering? The Torah only answered using the kelim that day. Maybe they were hungry that day and they wanted to use those kelim right then and there. So that's why they needed to kasher. Delav nosin tam lefkam, that in such a case, it's not nosin tam lefkam, it's nosin tam leshvach within 24 hours, and therefore it's going to aser any food. The way Rashi says, shebishel ba ovdik chavim hayom, that ovdik chavim cooked in that pot today, aval bishel ba etmol kvar hifik b'taimo belinas laila. Rashi says if they cooked in that pot yesterday, then the fact that it had a linas laila, that it went overnight with since it was last cooked with, that would make it a tam pagum. So Tosus points out that you see something remarkable from Rashi, that when does it turn from a tam l'shvach to a tam l'fkam in the dofnei akli? So we always assume Kedera bas yoma, kedera eina bas yoma. That means 24 hours. Says Tosos, you see from Rashi, not that way. That it's not about 24 hours, it's about going overnight. That if they used this kli for dinner last night, then I'm already allowed to use it for breakfast this morning, because it went through a whole night, and that's what gives it a tam lefkam. The Rush quotes from the Ri that you need me'es la'es, that in order to be pogim metafshil, that it needs to be 24 full hours. It can't possibly relate to nighttime, because is nighttime, why would a tam become more quick to become pagum during the summertime than it would during the wintertime? It just doesn't make sense that nighttime should have anything to do with it. It must be the amount of time that it's spent trapped in the Dofnei Akli, and that is 24 hours. Okay, so says Gemara, Mikan ve'elich l'shturi. Okay, if you're going to tell me that the only time the Torah ever required doing kashering kelim is if the kli was used that very day, or according to the Rosh, within the last 24 hours, so once you know that a kli hasn't been used for 24 hours, you shouldn't need to kasher it anymore. Just let it be good. So says Gemara, you're right, but midrabanan tzegzeira kedera sheina bas yoma, mishum kedera bas yoma. They made a gzeira not to even use a kli that hadn't been used in 24 hours, lest you come to use a kli that had been used in 24 hours. So all of the hechsher kelim that we do pretty much is midrabanan, right? Midaraisa, none of that hechsher kelim is really required. Tosus points out the reason they were gozer on the kedera sheina bas yoma, atu bas yoma, and they weren't gozer on the food that was cooked in the kedera sheina bas yoma, atu a tafshil that was cooked in the kedera bas yoma, because if you think about it, that lechora is an even bigger problem. The food's going to be treif if it's a kedera bas yoma, if the pot was used in the last 24 hours, because nosin tam l'shvach. But a kedera sheina bas yoma, the food is going to be kosher. So how come they didn't make a gzeira on the food, atu the food? So Tosus writes that in the kli there goes that you could be that you have to be machshirit, because initially that kli was an iser gamur, but a meichel that never was aser, you're not going to make a gzeira on. Meaning any kedera that's ena bas yoma was once a kedera bas yoma, so that kli was once aser. So they're going to make a gzeira on this very kli, even when enough time has passed where it's no longer problematic. But the food that you cook in a kedera sheena bas yoma was never treif; it was never a problem. So they're not going to make a gezeira on food that is now kosher and was always kosher. There's no room for such a gezeira. That's what Tosos points out. V'idach, says Gemara, in the Shita that disagrees and holds, that no sin tam l'fgam is aser. How do I learn that din from this pasuk? After all, shouldn't we just say, or couldn't we just say, that the Torah only asers klei midyan when it's bas yoma, when it's no sin tam l'shvach, but a tafshil that's cooked after 24 hours in such a pot was never aser by the Torah? So it says Mar, Keder Bas Yom Anami Mifkam Pagma. No, that Shita holds that even within 24 hours it's already a Tam Lefgam, and nevertheless the Torah asered it. So Adrabah, you see from Gilei Klei Midyan that Nosin Tam Lefgam is Aser. The Shita that holds Nosin Tam Lefgam is Aser holds that the source for that is Gilei Klei Midyan, because it's always a Tam Pagum. Whenever Tam gets trapped in Dofnei Akli, it's a Tam Pagum, and we still see that we need to extract that Tam or destroy that Tam in the Kli. That's the whole concept of Hechsher Kelim. So essentially, we have a Parsha of Gilei Klei Midyan and Parsha of Hechsher Kelim. And there are two ways to look at that Parsha. So one way to look at that Parsha is that even though it's always a Tam Pogum, Nosin Tam Lefgam is Asra, and that's why we need Hechsher Kelim, regardless whether it's Bas Yoma or Bas Yoma. The other way to look at it is, no, within the first 24 hours, you're going to have a problem because it's Nosin Tam L'Shvach. And that's what we need Hechsher Kelim for, Mida Oraisa. After 24 hours, it's going to be Nosin Tam Lefgam, and that's not going to be a problem anyway. Everything's going to be kosher anyway. But midrabanan, we were afraid people would confuse a bas yoma and an ein bas yoma, and therefore midrabanan, we require hechsher kelim after 24 hours. We paskin nosin tam lefgam is mutter, and we paskin therefore that hechsher kelim that we do is midrabanan. Within the first 24 hours, it would be midaraisa. After that, it would be midrabanan. Okay, then. The Mishnah had said that if you have a spit or a grate that's used with direct fire, you need libun. So ask the Gemara, Rami le Rav Amram le Rav Sheshes, Rav Amram challenge Rav Sheshes, that Tanan, we have our Mishnah says, Ashvudin va'askula melabnan bu'ur, that you use fire to do libun. Vaha Tanan, Gabi Kachem, the Girsa Shvi, Vaha Tanan, because this in fact is a Mishnah in Mesechus Vachim, that we have a Mishnah Mesechus Vachim about Hechsher Kelim that were used for Besar HaKarbarnos, that were used to cook carbon meat, that a shvud va'askula magilon bechamin, that you do agala, you don't need to do libun. How come you don't need to do libun? After all, when you buy a tray for kli from a guy, you need to do libun. Why should this be any different? Now you can't say that the Chassam Sofer points out in explaining Rashi that you can't say that the reason we're more machmir by macholos asuros is because there are macholos asuros that you chayv karis for. There's chaylev, there's dam, because you have kachem that you chayv kares for also. Noser is also an isser kares. So it's not about the chomer or isser. So there must be something else over here. Why is it that by kachim you only need agala, and by machol sasuros you need libun? So the Gemara is going to have five or six answers. Answer number one. Five answers, and then the sixth one we come back to one of the previous ones. That's why I keep saying five or six, not because I didn't count. So says the Gemara. Answer number one. Amr Leh. So Rav Shesha said to Rav Amram, Amram Bri, my son Amram. He wasn't really a son, but the Talmud is like a son. My Indian kachim etzel guli of the chavim. How can you compare hechsher from kachim to hechsher from blios of iser of non kosher food? Hasam hetera bala. By kachim the kli was balaya heter, and only afterwards it became the blios became aser. So you do agal. Meaning, what's the problem by kachim? Why did they need to be kosher at all? It was all kosher meat. Yeah, but there's a din called nosa that once the zman of the carbon is over, so then the kosher kachim meat becomes noser, becomes aser. At the time, though, that it was boleya, the time of the meat, it was hetera bala, it was kosher food. Hacha isura bala, but when the guy cooked nevelis and trefus and nebema tamea and dam and everything, so that was all isura bala. That was all, it was isra at the time that it went into the kli. So when kashering from that which absorbed heter, you only need a lower form of kashering, even though now in the dofnei kli it turned into isser. But when kashering that which absorbed something that was isser to begin with, we find such a din that tera bala is different than isura bala. They have by not par nat tera is mutter, not par nat isura is aser. So that means if I cook a pig in a pot and then I clean out that pot and then I cook something else in that pot, I cook pasta in that pot afterwards. So the pig was no same time into the pot. The pot was then no same time into the pasta. That's not par nat. It's two steps removed. That's treif. Treif. However, if I cooked meikra din, if I cooked milchig in a pot, let's put it this way. Let's say I cook milchig in a pot, and then I cook noodles in that pot, and then I put meat on that on those noodles. Kosher. That you can eat those noodles. You're not supposed to do the chachila, whatever, but it's kosher because that's not par nat the hetera. The milk that I put in was kosher milk. That was heter. So whenever the absorption was hetera, that's always going to be a little more kal than when the absorption was yisura. Not only when it comes to yisura, but even not par nat, it doesn't matter how far removed it is. It's always going to be treif. So that's the chilik. So Amar Rava. Rava responds to Rav Sheshes's answer. He says, "Sov sov ki kapalat yisura kapalat. Why do I care what it's balea at the time that it's polate when the isur comes out of the pot when you're." Cooking with it, the absorption comes out. It's absorption of iser. So shouldn't you need libun to get rid of that? So Ella Amar Rava gives answer number two. That really, it's good enough to just do hagala. What is our Mishnah? Why does our Mishnah say to do libun? My hagala, that which it says by kachim that you need to be magil the kelim. It means I'm sorry that it's not enough to do hagala. Really, you need libun like it says in our Mishnah. Why does the Mishnah in Zvachim say to do hagala? My hagala nami shtif. When it says Hagala, it means that in addition to Libun, you also need to do Shtifa mi bechutz and Marika mi befnim. That's the Gemara over there is a machlokas, where the Marika Shtifa just means to rinse it with cold on the inside and outside. But the only difference in Shtifa and Marika is which part of the Kli. That Shtifa is the outside of the Kli, Marika is the inside of the Kli. Or Marika, and it means Chamin, and Shtifa means Tzonim. And Lechora, if that's the case, the Marika doesn't really help the Hechsher Kelim, but it's a Gzeres HaKasav by Kachim that the Pasuk says, Umarak Veshutaf B'mayim. So Gzeres HaKasav by Klei Hekdish, even though there's no Toelis to the Hechsher, we find such things that even if it doesn't kasher anything, you have such Gzeres HaKasav of washing Hekdish. Just like if you have a Beged that has Dam Chatas that was Nitas on it, so you need to do a Kibus B'makom Kadosh. You can't just send it out to the dry cleaners. There are Dinim. I've had to clean things that are hegdish. So kli cheres that you cook karmel chatas in, you have to do the shvira of the kli cheres, which is the only way to kasher it. makom kadosh, even though you're never going to use it again. So these are marika shtifas, just a din that you have by kachim. So when you want to kasher pots of kachim, of course, says Ravi, you do libun. If it was directly used alideya, or you're going to do libun. What was the Mishnah talking about when it said to do agala? It didn't mean agala. It meant marika shtifa, which is a special din in cleanliness and cleaning kachim pots. Xeris hakosav, that's how you clean kachim kalim. So amle abaye mi dami marika shtifa betzonin hagala b'chamin. How can the Tana call marika shtifa hagala? That's very misleading. Marika shtifa is with cold, hagala is with hot. We just pointed out that it's machlokas with the marika shtifa is with cold. That according to one opinion, marika's b'chamin shtifa is betzonin. It's not all with cold. Yeah, but both opinions have to be able to read the Mishnah, right? So that's what the Aruch HaShulchan points out, that you could have been miyashiv by saying that that Rava holds like the Chachamim that Marika is Bechamin, but we'd rather fit it according to everybody. So Abaye doesn't accept Rava's answer. So again, so far we had two answers. Again, the stira was, how come in our Mishnah when it talks about kelim that are used directly on fire, it says you need libun, and the Mishnah Zvachim when it talks about kelim that are used for kachim directly on fire, it says you only need agala. Answer number one was Rav Sheshet's answer, difference between Heterabala and Isurabala. Answer number two is Rava's answer that when it says Hagala, of course you need Libun. When it says Hagala over there, it means Mariko Shtifa. Both answers had problems with it. So Elam Rabbi, Abai comes with the third answer, Yagadal of Reo, that each Mishnah elaborates on the other Mishnah, that you need to read both Mishnayos in concert with each other. So Tana Hacha Libun Vua Din Hagala. It says in our Mishnah that you need Libun, but you know what? You also need Agala, and Tanahasam Agala Vuadin Libun, and it says by Kachim that you need Agala, but you also need Libun. So both by Heksher Kelim from Giulei Nachrim and by Heksher Kli from Nosar of Kachim, you need both Libun and Hagala. So and Lechora Mariko Shtifa also, right? Because that's a Xeris HaKasim by Kachim. So you're gonna, I mean, at least by Kachim was, you're gonna need Mariko Shtifa too. So you need both Hagala and Libun. So Amle Rava Ihachi, Rava says, if that's the case, that each one is just, you know, it's a Divrei Torah Aniim b'makom Echad Rashir b'makom Acher, and it's you know, it's Yagadol of Reo, and you have to know all the Mishnayos in order to know everything you need to do. Listen inu l'kulu b'chada. Why didn't it say both halachas of what you need in one of the Mishnayos, and in the other Mishnah, you could have just mentioned one of them, Vilema Yagadol of Reo. That's what Yagadol of Reo would normally, that's how Yagadol of Reo would normally work. That in one place you list all the dinim, and in the other place you mention one of the dinim so that everyone will realize, oh, we're talking about those dinim. Okay, so I'll look at the list over there and I'll see what the dinim are. But to have no place where you have all the dinim, to have two Mishnayos and neither one of them includes all the dinim, that can't be, and therefore, it can't be that Abaye is correct that you need both Hagala and Libun. So Ella Amar Rava, Rava says a fourth answer. Kachim, Ainu Tamayu, the reason that Kachim need only Hagala and not Libun is because Rav Nachman, Rav Ravur, Domer Kol Yom V'Yom Nasagil L'Chavero, that every day when they cook in the Kli, that Bishul is a kashering of the previous day's cooking. So it turns out that before the Blios ever become Nosar, those Blios are gone because they use those Kalim again the next day. And when they use those Kalim the next day, it self-kashers as they use it. So the Gemara is going to ask, Rashi points out, then it turns out that there was never a Bliya Asura in the Kli, so why does it say that you need Hagala by Kachim? There was never any Bliya Asura at all. Okay, but we'll see. The Rashba raised a different question. He says, since they use the Shvur and the Askala with fire, what does it help that every day is Hagala l'chavero? You need Libun until, and Libun means that you remove the klipa el yona, meaning in order to do a proper kashering of libun, the outer surface of the item, it's got to be malin itzotzos, so the outer surface of the item has to be destroyed. So just by using a spit over the fire, you're not getting that necessarily. So it doesn't necessarily accomplish that same thing. So the Rashba writes that by kachim, since it was you're kashering it before it ever becomes nosar, you don't need the same intensity of libun because it was. the Isser is a very Shvacha Isser, because it's never really Asr. So since it's whatever, meaning, I shouldn't say it that way, meaning the Rashba is a very big fan of this concept called Isser Kalosh, that what happens if you have something that requires real Libun, which means till it sparks and you remove the entire outer surface or whatever, and you do a lighter Libun, a Libun of just using it over a fire or something like that. So you've destroyed most of the Tam. Whatever Tam is left is very Kalosh, it's very weak. If all you're leaving in the Kli is a Tam Kalosh, and it had not yet become Aser, it can't generate an Iser. If it was already Balea with Nevela and Trefa and Machalsis and all those kinds of things, so then I need to do real Liban. I do anything short of a real Liban, I'm leaving some Tam in there, and that Tam is Trefa Tam. But if it was just Kachim that was used, 20 hours ago, less than 24 hours ago, and now I'm going to, let's not use hours, it's kachem that was used within the Zman that you're allowed to eat that meat still, and now I do a subpar form of Libun, so all I'm leaving left of that kosher kachem meat in the Kli is a Tam Kalosh. A Tam Kalosh can never become treif. It's not strong enough to become treif. If it's already treif, that's one thing, but it's not strong enough to become treif. So that's how the Rashba, explains. So says the Gemara. Says Gemara, so Tenach Shlamim. This makes sense. This teretz that we just said that every day becomes kashering the previous day's karban, that works very well for a karban shlamim. Because since a karban shlamim could be eaten for 2 days, that when I use the same pot the next day, I'm kashering out flavor that's still kosher because it's still within the zman that you're allowed to eat a karban shlamim. But if I were to bring a karban chatos today on Tuesday morning, the halacha is that karban chatos can be eaten today and tonight. By tomorrow morning, it's already nosar. It's already too late. So what? The fact that I'm using that pot that cooked the karban chatos the previous day, that's gil lechavero. No, it doesn't work. It's already isura by the time you're using it. Since it's only eaten for a day and the night that follows, when you're mevashel a chatos in a kli today, by tomorrow morning, havi nosar. So v'chihadam mevashel balamachar oshlam mo chatos. And therefore, when the next day you use that same kli to cook a shlam and more a chatos, kapalit nosar de chatos to idna bechatos shlam to lamachar. The nosar, the chatos of yesterday, which is by now nosar, is giving flavor into whatever you're cooking in it today. And therefore, it should trafe up the whole, that's not giul lechavera, that should trafe up whatever you're cooking in it the next day. So Amri lo tzricha, the teretz of Rava, that by kachim you don't need libun because every day is a giul lechavero, is only dichim mevashel b'chatos ha'inna, when on that same day you're mevashel in the kli chatos, hadar mevashel b'ha'inna shlamim. On that very same day, you cook karban shlamim in that pot. And through that, it is a giul, it is kashering, because you still got it on the same day when the chatos was not yet nosar. The chatos to lemakro shlam de'edmal ba'de adadi kashalim zimnayhu, because the chatos that you cook on a later day and a shlamim that you cook on an early day, they become nosar at the same time. And then you can on the second day cook a karban shlamim after the chatos, and that will kasher out the blios of yesterday's shlamim and the chatos of today. And that's what you keep doing, that you keep making sure that you don't allow a karban chatos blia to last until the next day. You just keep using it again for a karban shlamim before the chatos bliya becomes nosar. So frankly, Gemara ihachi. But if that's the case, that every day is a giul lechavero hagalanami lo libayi, then you shouldn't even require hagala. Meaning, what did the Mishnah Zvachim say? The Mishnah Zvachim did not say, "Don't worry, you don't need to do hechsher kelim; it takes care of itself." The Mishnah Zvachim didn't say that. It said you need hagala. Our stira was that our Mishnah said that you need libun. The Mishnah Zvachim said you need hagala. But according to this answer of Rava, that kol yom nasa giul lechavero, Averot, you shouldn't even eat Agola. It's self-kashers. So you shouldn't need to do anything. So says Gemara Kasha. Okay, that's a challenge with Rava's answer. So answer number five. Rav Papa Amar, high karid, high low karid. That a kli that you cook kachem in, since every day you use it to cook, the blia never really hardens inside of it, and therefore it's easier to extract that blia. You're able to get it out with Hagala. But a kli that's used by a guy that he used for whatever in his kitchen, since he doesn't always cook, he's not constantly using it, it gives a chance for the blia to harden, and in order to get rid of that blia, you need to do an actual libun. So the difference is in the usage of the kli, that since in the Beis HaMikdash they were constantly using these kelim, no blia ever got really solidified, and therefore you're able to extract those blios with only Hagala. But in a typical kitchen, a blia will become very solidified, and therefore you're going to need libun. Now answer number six, which is really answer number one. Rav Ashi Amar, Liolam Ketam Meikara. The best answer we gave was the first answer, that the difference is Hacha Terebala, Hacha Yisurabala. You know what the difference is between Kachim and between Gilei Nachrim? Is that by Kachim it was Heterebala, it was Heter when it went into the pot. By Gilei Nachrim, it was Yisurabala. With the Kakashalach, what was our problem with that? We said to be in the Kapalit, Yisura Kapalit, that at the time that it's extracting the flavor, when it's polate the blios, even by kachim, it's polate the davar asr, because the tafshil that was in the walls of the kli became nosar and became asr. So bidna katapal, we see the isur beinei. Yeah, but those blios of isr that are there at the time of the plata are not an isr, were never an isr be'en. They never existed independently as an isr. Meaning when they became nosar, they already didn't exist. They already didn't have any mamashos. They were already in the dofnei kli, and therefore it's not such an isr chamor, and that's why Hagal is going to work. As opposed to in our Mishnah, the kli was balea, an isr. What kind of isr? It was pig. It was nevela. It was trefa. It was an isr be'en that then gave its flavor into that kli. So for such a thing, one is going to require libun. Period. That's the end of the discussion of the stira between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Zvachim. Now we get back to kashering. In terms of just how to, va'ad kama malabdan, when we're doing libun, how much, until when do you have to keep it in the fire? I mean, if you just run it through a fire, is that a valid form of libun? So Amar Rabbi Mani, ad shetashir klipasan, until the outer surface is removed from the intensity of the heat, from the intensity of the libun. That's what the Rimi Lunil says, that it's the derech of mateches, when it becomes very, 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 very hot, that the outer surface goes away. The Yerushalmi says that you have to wait till it's mala nitzot, that there are nitzotzos that come from the barzal hamaluban, that you see sparks coming out when a person uses a blowtorch to kasher, till sparks come out. So that's the Rashbeitz writes that the Yerushalmi and the Bavli are really saying the same thing. They're just giving two different simanim for it. Now, Rav Moshe has the following kasher. Rav Moshe says, I don't understand. Why is it that we don't say kibolo kach polto at the time that you roasted with the barzel, at the time that you used it to make a barbecue, we didn't get to the heat intensity of the klipach hitzona coming out. So why should you have to do that at the time of the hechsher? Just get the same heat intensity that you had at the time of the cooking. So Rav Moshe writes that din of kibolo kach polto is only when you're kashering with hagala, because hagala, what you're doing is you're drawing the blia out of the kli. So just like it entered, the same way you can extract. The same way it went in, that's the same way it comes out. But when it comes to libun, libun is not maflit a blia. Libun is soref a blia. The fire goes into the kli, penetrates into the kli, and destroys the blia. So that, it's not about kibolo kach polto, because there's no polto. It's not being polate anything. It's about going in and destroying the blia, and that needs a uniform level of libun in order to go and to destroy it. V'ketzad magilan, how do you do agala? So amravuni, yoru ketada b'toch yoru gedola. You take a small pot and put it in a big pot in order to do agala. So yoru gedola mai, what if you have the world's biggest pot, right? How are you going to do agala? Or your biggest pot, let's say. So tashma, do the davai be rav akavya, because they had such a large pot by akavya. Ahadalei, Gadfana Delisha Apuma. So he came up with the idea. He made a rim around the side, the top outside of the pot out of dough. Umaliya Maya Va'artecha. And he filled the pot to the very top with water, and he boiled it up so that the boiling water went over the edges of the pot, and the fire didn't go out because it was caught by the rim that he had, the makeshift rim that he had built around it. So Rava Man Chakim Lamev Kiya Milsa Ilav Rav Akavya Degava Rabahu. Who is such a chacham to do something like this, if not Rav Akavya, who's such an adam gadol? Kasavar kibolo kach polto polo binitzotzos af polto binitzotzos. That the way it absorbed the tam was through boiling things in the pot. So the way it's going to extract the tam is by having boiling water. You just have to make sure the boiling water goes over the edges of the pot and the rim of the pot. So he came up with such a way to achieve that. Hasakin shafa vihitor, meaning, and you don't need to kasher the outside of the pot because it wasn't balea from the outside, it was balea from the inside. So as long as you have boiling on the inside of the pot and over the rim, because sometimes you do have spillage over the rim, so that then it's going to be good enough. So you don't need to kasher separately the outside of the pot. Hasakin shafa vihitor, if you have a knife, you scrub it and it is tahar. So amar avukva barchama v'noatza asara pa'amim bakarka. You have to stab it 10 times in the ground in order to get any shamnunis that's on the surface of the knife in order to get it off. Poskim nowadays say that if you use like steel wool to clean off a smooth blade, that accomplishes the same thing. Rabbi Reisman, I think, quotes from Rav Palm that he didn't think so. That he thought, he said, I don't know, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but we have no way, meaning the way he said, would you know the difference if it was stabbed 9 times into the ground or 10 times into the ground? It would look the same clean to you. You wouldn't know the difference. Elamai, we have no idea, so we just have to do what Chazal said, because it's going to be difficult for us to ever assess if it's actually clean enough. But most posts can assume, even the Rishonim say that there are different kirsos. Some say only 3 times, and the Ran writes that it only says 10 times as a way of expressing that it needs to be really, really clean. So if you're confident that it's really, really clean, that's good enough. Amar Avuna Rabbi Yeshua Bekarka She'ena Avuda. This only works if the karka is hard ground, not if it's been plowed. Amar Avkana B'Sakin Yafa She'en Bagumos. It also only works on a smooth knife that doesn't have crevices, because then food could get stuck in the crevices of the knife. If you have a nice smooth knife that doesn't have any crevices, you stab it 10 times into the ground. Amar Rav Huna Bridger of Yeshua Lechol Batzonin, that this works to scrub the knife with an even or to stick it in the ground 10 times works if you want to eat cold food with that knife. You want to use that knife to cut something cold, because it doesn't remove any blios that are in the sakin. It's only makshir if you want to remove any blios, then you're going to need hagala, right? But if you want to use it just for cold, where you're not worried about blios, there aren't going to be any blios. So then this ni'itza bakarka is going to work. Ki hadu Mar Yehuda Bati Bar Tuvi aviyasvi kamedish for Malka, like the story of Mar Yehuda and Bati Bar Tuvi sitting in front of Shvar Malka. This Mar Yehuda, there's a question what the girsa should be, whether it should be Mar Yehuda or Rav Yehuda. There was such a person, Mar Yehuda, but Mar Yehuda was a third generation Amora, appears a few places in Shas. Rav Yehuda was a first generation Amora. There was a fellow by the name of Shvar Malka in both generations. The problem is that the Shvar Malka in Mar Yehuda's generation was not a big lover of the Jews. The Shvar Malka in Rav Yehuda's generation was very good to the Jews. So this story sounds like a Shvar Malka that was good to the Jews. So it's more likely that it was Rav Yehuda and not Mar Yehuda. So Mar Yehuda, Bati Bar Tuvi, were sitting in front of Shvar Malka. Bati Bar Tuvi is an Eved Kanani. So Isil Kameyu Esroga. They brought an Esrog to eat. Pasak Achal. He cut a piece off of it and ate from it. Pasak Vahavli Bati Bar Tuvi. Then the king Shvar Malka cut off a piece and gave it to Bati Bar Tuvi. Hadar Dotsa Asar Zimni Bara. Then Shvar Malka kashered it by sticking it 10 times in hard ground, kashered the knife, and then Pasak Avle the Mar Yehuda. Then he cut off another piece of the Esrog and he gave it to Mar Yehuda. So Bati Bar Tuvi was insulted. Amle Bati Bar Tuvi, you know, before you cut a piece for me, you didn't kasher the knife. Hu Gavra Lav Bar Yisraelu? What, am I not Jewish enough? Well, he's not, but meaning he's got to keep kosher though. So he says, am I not Jewish enough to at least keep kosher? So Amle, so Shvar Malka said, Mar Kimli Begave, Mar Lo Kimli Begave. Your Mar Yehuda, I know, is very, very careful. He's a parosh. He would never eat a dvar aser. But you, I'm not so confident. then that you wouldn't eat something that's aser. That's what Rashi writes. Now, l'chora, it's an ikar adin. There's no precious over here. What kind of precious? It's an ikar adin that you're not allowed to eat such things. So it could be the Achronim point out, the Imre Tzvi, or the other Achronim point out, that it's that this was a knife that was only used for cutting fruit. So it wasn't really a treif knife. But Mar Yehuda had this extra chumrah that I never want to use a knife that was, I want to see that it's kashered if it was ever a gayish knife. So Bati Bar Tuvi didn't really need to kasher it. Okay, Igadamri Amrle, others say that he said to him, Itkar Maya Vad Deborta, that his response, Shvor Malka's response to him was, I remember what you did last night. Don't tell me you're so makbid on kashrus, because apparently the Malchi Paras, when they would entertain guests, they would send women to their rooms at night. So Rav Yehuda refused it, or Mar Yehuda refused the gesture when they sent. But Bati Bar Tuvi was more than happy to accept the gesture. So he said, "Oh, you're makbid about the kashrus of the knives. You're not so makbid about the kashrus of your bed at night." That now it happens to be. It's not correct, because Neved Kanani is mutter begaya. He's allowed to be with a non-Jewish woman. He's not allowed to eat non-kosher. So Itaka had a point. Okay, Hadron Allah Chazokra Sapol Slikla Maseches Avodah Zarah. Hashem, tomorrow we will begin Maseches Horiel. Smells of everybody.